We're reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24 and verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'"
The title I've given today's message, slightly different to the program, is called Real Confidence in the Risen Christ. Real Confidence in the Risen Christ. And we're coming into land in our series in Luke. This is the last session in the series in Luke. And I want to just remind us of how Luke began his gospel. In chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Luke wrote these words. He says, "I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught." Theophilus was the patron to whom Luke was speaking. But Luke's aim is certainty. He wants you and I and all the readers of the early church to be really certain and confident in your faith and in the risen Christ, especially when you face ups and downs, storms and fires and tribulations. He wants you to be absolutely certain. You are not believing a fairy tale. You are not believing something cooked up by some clever religious nut. This is the eternal truth of God. Christ is risen and he is with you. And as Luke's gospel comes into land at the end, we get the story of the two disciples walking to Emmaus. And again, at that point, they lack certainty. They are depressed. They are disappointed. They are perplexed. They are dejected, dispirited. They've come to a place where they lack all certainty. And Luke ends his gospel where he began, with the call to confidence and certainty. There's a picture, I like this painting, of the two disciples. By the way, they may have been a man and a woman. We don't know. But some people think it was Cleopas, he's named, and possibly his wife, Mary. Or it may have been two men. Those two people that were dejected, dispirited, despondent, lacking certainty, lacking confidence after all that happened, are a picture of all the disciples at that time. They epitomize, they represent all the disciples who were feeling exactly that way. Although it's a true story. And Jesus comes alongside them and they change. In this story, a few things happen. He teaches them from the scriptures. Their hearts begin to burn. And later on, they invite him in and they see him. They go back to a place of confident proclamation. What took these people and the disciples from a place of doubting, dejectedness, to a place of triumphant, victorious confidence that Jesus is risen? That's kind of where I want to go today. Because you see, the early church, they no longer had the empty tomb to look at. The early church no longer had Jesus appearing to them. You know, he appeared, didn't he, for a number of times, but that all stopped. Okay, they did have the Holy Spirit, because at the day of Pentecost, God came to live in them by the Holy Spirit. But as the church went on, love grows cold, confidence wanes, doubts come in, uncertainties creep in. And I believe Luke wrote this gospel about 20 or 30 years after these events to encourage the church to certainty. Because I believe in the early church, there were some Christians, they'd had the Holy Spirit, they were Christians, but they were starting to doubt and have confidence in the gospel. Resurrection, really? My relative just died, I buried them. Resurrection, really? It all seems 20 years ago now. I mean, I had to lay to rest the ashes of my uncle a few weeks ago. And it's quite powerful. You know, you put the ashes in the ground, you think, resurrection, really? But you see, Luke writes this to encourage those Christians to stop doubting and to come back to certainty. And maybe there were some in the early church or attending the early church who did not yet know Jesus, and God still needed to open their eyes to see this risen Christ. Now, this chapter, Luke 24, it shows us two truths which show us how to come into real confidence in Christ. And they're like two keys which will unlock confidence. If you humbly desire them, these two keys will open your eyes to recognize and see better who Jesus is, if you listen to this passage. Because in this story, the disciples saw the Lord again, didn't they? They recognized him. There's a secret in this passage that will help you catch afresh a glimpse of who Jesus is. And I want to share that secret with you. And also, this other key that's in Luke 24, if you listen to what the story is really saying, it will give you a heart full of confidence in the risen Christ and his powerful gospel. All right? But first, I want to tell you what these keys are not. What these keys are not, before I reveal them to you. They are not knowing facts about the resurrection. Because these early disciples, even though they didn't yet have the Holy Spirit, they knew all the facts. They knew the facts. They knew there was an empty tomb. It says in chapter 23, which we didn't read, that the women who came with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb, how his body was laid in it. They saw the tomb. They saw a dead body in a tomb. And they also knew all the facts about Joseph of Arimathea, who provided a tomb. They know the facts about Jesus appearing to various people, appearing to Simon. But it doesn't seem to make any difference knowing all the facts. It's not the facts of the resurrection that will give you confidence. You can believe it in your head, but something has to happen in your heart. God has to do something in your heart to have confidence in this message of Jesus, the risen Christ. God has to do something. He has to burn something into your heart. He has to open your eyes. It's no good knowing all the facts. Okay? And it's not knowing all the evidence for the resurrection. Let me just show you this slide. This is the Lord Chief Justice of Britain, Lord Charles John Darling. He said this: no intelligent jury in the world could fail to bring in a verdict that the resurrection story is true. You know, there's enough evidence legally to stand up in a court of law and to be accepted by a jury. Let me read to you what Dr. Simon Greenleaf, a professor at Harvard University, professor of law, this is what he said. He said, the resurrection of Christ is one of the best supported events in history according to the laws of legal evidence. It's, you know, if we had time, and we don't, I could sit and talk to you about why. I could say to you, the women did not go to the wrong tomb. They weren't stupid. The women saw that they didn't go to the wrong tomb. Some people say, oh, they went to the wrong tomb. Some people say, oh, Jesus survived the cross and sort of swooned and fainted and then revived in the cool of the tomb and sort of walked out looking healthy. I could prove to you that's not true. Some people say the body was stolen. Well, I could prove to you that's not true. Some say it was carried away by a flood. That's ridiculous. Some say it was all hallucinations. We could prove to you, scientifically and legally, this is not hallucinations. Some say it was a ghost story. No, he had a body. He ate fish. He said, touch my body. It was very weird. It's not normal. It wasn't a normal ghost story that you usually get. There's tons of evidence, not to mention the fact that Christianity went from a bunch of scaredy cats to the most confident bunch of people ever sharing the gospel across the Roman Empire. That will not give you confidence, though, knowing all the evidence. So what will? What are these two keys I'm talking about? Well, here's the first one. We need divine intervention if we are ever to see properly. Okay? Because in this story, if you notice, verse 16, although Jesus was right there next to them, he was right next to them. They couldn't recognize him. It says their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Now, this is a big theme in Gospel of Luke, right? The idea that you can't see until the Lord opens your eyes. I don't know if you remember the stories. When Jesus spoke about going to the cross, it says, I'll just read one to you. It says, Jesus, in Luke 9:45, he was telling them he's got to go to the cross, and he says its meaning was hidden from them. Didn't make any sense. They couldn't see it. A third time, when he talked about predicting his death to them, in Luke 18, verse 34, it says its meaning was hidden from them. They didn't know what he was talking about. They were blind. And the truth is this, we're all blind until God does a work in our heart and opens our eyes. Some people think they didn't recognize Jesus because it was dark. I struggle to believe that. Some they couldn't recognize Jesus because God deliberately kept it from them until he chose to reveal it. Now that is really humbling. Because we in the Western society, we think we can do what we want, when we want, whenever we want. We think we can do what we like. Well, the truth is you cannot see until God opens your eyes. God, the Creator, is in charge of what we see. It says in the Gospel of Luke that the Lord had been anointed to bring recovery of sight to the blind. It says in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus, at the Christmas story, we're coming up to Christmas soon. Daniela, my daughter, is absolutely desperate to get to Christmas. Keeps on and on about it. But at Christmas, right, one of the stories, when Simeon held baby Jesus, he said, this Jesus is going to be a light of revelation to the Gentiles, a way for people to see. And Jesus brings eyesight, but you can't bring it yourself. God has to open your eyes. Okay? It's only when God switches the light on will you see and recognize the Lord. I had a friend in Exeter called David. He heard lots about Jesus. He went to church, but he just couldn't see it. He couldn't get it. Then one day he was walking down the stairs in his house in Exeter and it just dawned on him. The penny dropped. The light came on. I know Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's risen from the dead. It just came to him as a revelation. You see, what Jesus does in the Gospel of Luke is he hides it from proud people. Jesus said this prayer. He was praying once in Luke 10, verse 21. He says, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. So God is the one who opens our eyes, but if you're humble, if you're a child, like, if you're humble, he will be happy to show you Jesus and to show you more of Jesus. Maybe you all know Jesus, but maybe you want to see more of Jesus. Well, can I tell you, the key to seeing more of Jesus is to be humble and say, Lord, help me to see more of you more clearly. I need your help. I want to see Jesus more clearly. The key is humility. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So the Lord will only allow us to see him afresh and get confidence if we are humble, if we have humility. Humble people who end up seeing Jesus also talk to the Lord. They don't ignore him. They talk to the Lord. I love in this story how the two disciples, they just talked to this stranger at the time, Jesus. And as they became humbler as they went along and talked to him, he began to open their eyes. I want to tell you a very quick story about a man called Gordon who used to live in Stockport. Not Gordon who used to come here, but a chap called Gordon used to live in Stockport, and he had a real problem swearing. He swore like a trooper. And his girlfriend left him. She said, I'm dumping you because you swear all the time. And he got quite chastened by this. His dad was a pastor, by the way. And he went to a place of prayer and he sort of humbled himself. And he said, Jesus, if you're there, I want to talk to you now. He says, if you're there, can you take away my swearing? Then he woke up the next day, felt exactly the same. Wondered if it had done any good. Maybe it was like talking to someone on the phone and there's nobody on the other end. He thought, I don't feel any different. And he went to his factory, worked in the factory. At 5 o'clock, the hooter went. Time to come out of the factory, and a friend walked up to him and said, Gordon, are you okay? Are you okay? He said, why? He said, are you ill? He said, why? No. He said, we haven't sworn all day. And Gordon said, then I knew that Jesus is alive. See, as you humble yourself and start to talk to the Lord, don't ignore him. He can start showing you that he's alive and he's real. Also, a humble person, if you stay humble, what will you end up doing? You'll end up inviting Jesus into your life. I mean, these disciples, they invited Jesus to stay with them. It says in chapter 24, verse 29, they came to this place where they urged him strongly, stay with us or abide with us. For it is nearly evening, the day is almost over. So Jesus went in to stay with them. And that's a picture of if you humble yourself, you'll come to the point where you say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Come in, thou heavenly guest, as the old hymn says. Come in, heavenly guest. Come in, make your home with me. So one of the keys I'm trying to get to is only God can do it, but you've got to be humble. And this is what happened when they invited Jesus in. It says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. So God revealed Jesus to them. I wonder also if maybe he had holes in his hands when he broke the bread. I don't know. You know, you break the bread, they see the holes. Maybe that was part of it, but I know God revealed it to them. I'm going to just share this with you. This isn't my idea. I nicked this from Tom Wright. Have you heard of him? Professor Tom Wright. He said this, and I thought this was quite interesting. He said, the Gospel of Luke is full of echoes of the Old Testament. And here you have a couple, a man and a woman, because Tom Wright thinks it was Cleopas and his wife, taking food and their eyes being opened. Now, in the book of Genesis, right at the beginning, Adam and Eve, a couple, man and a woman, took food. It was an apple or fruit. And their eyes were opened. And they fell into sin. And they fell into the curse. They recognized, not Jesus, but they recognized that they were naked. And they recognized their shame. And what Jesus is doing, and what Luke is pointing, hinting at here, is Christ reverses the curse of Eden. Christ can give you food from himself and he can open your eyes and you won't be like Adam and Eve. No, it's seeing just shame. You'll see Jesus. It's a cosmic healing and reversal of the Garden of Eden. Okay, let's go on to the second key. We've said God alone can open your eyes in his time, but you need to be humble. And even if you're a Christian, to see more of Jesus, you've got to be humble. The second key in the story is we need divine instruction. We've said divine intervention, we need divine instruction through the scriptures if we want real confidence. As I said, the early church no longer had the empty tomb. The early church no longer had Jesus appearing and popping up in different places. The early church no longer felt the fire of the Holy Spirit. You know, they got zapped on the day of Pentecost. But after a few years, like all of us, we started to feel a bit jaded, a bit lacking in love, a bit. So what is the key to making their hearts burn again? It's in this story. In this story, what is the means that Jesus uses to get them on fire? What is the mean that Jesus uses to get their eyes open again and get confident? It's coming alongside them and opening up the scriptures. He comes alongside them and he opens up the scriptures. And this is also what Luke is doing through the whole gospel. He's showing you that Jesus is found in all the scriptures. He fulfills all the scriptures. You know, as they walked along, I wonder what they talked about. Let me just read, there it is, verse 27. This is as they're walking along, Jesus, he uses the second key, which is, I'm going to instruct you through the scriptures. I'm going to burn stuff into you to make you confident through the Bible. He says this, he says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. I mean, what a Bible study that would have been. It was about 7 or 8 miles a walk. So if you walk really slow, maybe 2 miles an hour, it might take you 3 hours, 3.5 hours. It's a long Bible study. But I just wonder, I mean, we don't know what was said, but you know, you wonder if like from Genesis, Jesus said, look, in Genesis, I am the serpent crusher. I'm the one that crushes the seed of the devil. I'm the promised one of the woman. Then Exodus, he says, well, in Exodus, I'm the true Passover lamb, the one who died to set people free. Not just from Egypt. And then maybe he got to Leviticus and he said, well, I am the fulfillment of the Day of Atonement. Deuteronomy, I am the true prophet like Moses. Numbers, I am the shepherd who shepherds his people. Psalms, I am the blessed man in the Psalms, the Messiah in the Psalms. Maybe he got onto Kings, 1 Kings, and said, I am the perfect king. Maybe he got into Isaiah and said, I am the suffering servant who was pierced for your sins. Maybe he got into Ezekiel and said, I am the one who gives you a new heart and a new spirit so that I can rule in your life. He talked about himself. And as they learnt of Jesus, humbly, listening humbly, he burnt fire into their hearts and they started to get confident. And this is the other secret. The secret is this. You've got to give God time in his word. That's the secret. It's the symbol. You've got to be humble enough to let Jesus teach you from the Bible. You've got to sit down. You might not feel like it. I never feel like reading my Bible. To be honest, I don't get wake up. Oh, whoopee-doo, read the Bible. I don't feel like it. But you've got to sit down and humble and say, Lord, would you please teach me through your scriptures? Whether you use notes or whether you just read it. But Lord, teach me. Burn, come alongside. And that's what Jesus wants to do with all of us. He wants to come alongside and teach you out of the scriptures. But how many of us give us time? When was the last time me or you picked up our Bibles? Here's the verse. They say this. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? That is the secret to regaining confidence. Because you see, if you humble yourself and give God time and say, okay, I'm not feeling like it, but I'm going to let you teach me through the Bible, you'll start to see things. You'll start to see Jesus Christ is alive. He might even speak to you through a verse. You're going to see that he died for my sins. He carried the judgment for me. You're going to see that he has established his kingdom. You're going to see that he has risen from the dead. with the new creation body, that sin is paid for. Your sin, my sin is paid for. You'll see that death is conquered. That, you know, it doesn't just end at the crematorium. You'll see that Satan is crushed if you let God soak and speak to you through the Old Testament, the New Testament, through the scriptures. Now, I want to tell you a story of a friend of mine, well, kind of a friend, Phil and Judy knew of him, George North. Right, George North was a great man of God, but you know what? In the war, you may not agree with this, but he was a conscientious objector. He didn't want to fight. And he got locked up in Maidstone Prison, where I used to live. Not in the prison, but he got locked up in Maidstone Prison, and they made him sew together mail sacks and for postal letters during the day as a kind of prison duty. And then in the evening, he was allowed to just stay in his cell, and he requested a Bible, and they gave him one. And he used to spend the evenings humbling himself and just asking the Lord to teach him to burn things into him through the scriptures. And he said that he got a burning heart when he looked at 1 Peter, particularly 1 Peter. He said, it just burnt into me as I gave God time, as I humbled myself before him. So that's really my message this morning. Humility is the key. Whether you're a man or a woman, it's a key to seeing more of Christ, because God decides when to reveal things, and it's the key to getting confident if you let him teach you and burn things into your heart through the scriptures. So, are you feeling a bit low, uncertain, doubting? The answer is to get on your knees and ask him to open your eyes, or get back to reading his word, taking it seriously, allowing him to teach you and give you a burning heart. And if you find it hard to read the Bible, you can always listen to the Bible. My dad, he listens to the gospel on a CD. Or you may find it easier to read with somebody. I mean, that's not always easy, but you might want to find someone and read the Bible one-to-one. But the point is, you've got to let God teach you through the scriptures and come alongside you like he did to those Emmaus disciples, and then you will end up in certainty, which is what Luke wants you to have and what Jesus wants you to have. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this Gospel of Luke. Thank you for this clarion call to certainty. Take away the blindness, the veil from our eyes. Help us see Jesus more clearly. Help us understand the cross and the resurrection. Help us as a church be more confident in you and your gospel, and share the gospel with others more confidently, Lord, because it is the truth. Amen.